Good morning. I'm Mark Allen with Gaber.io. Oh my God. And I'm here with Allison Shapira, the CEO and founder of Global Public Speaking. Good afternoon, Allison.
Hi, Mark.
Great afternoon there, right?
It is officially afternoon. Great to see you again.
Yeah, great to see you again. So remind everybody what Global Public Speaking is all about to start.
I'd be happy to. Global Public Speaking is a training and coaching firm in the field of public speaking and presentation skills with a focus on leadership communication, which means as we move up in our career, what communication skills do we need to develop to effectively exercise leadership when we speak up in meetings, pitches, or presentations?
Very cool. And I remember from talking to you, I've done a lot of podcasts. You had one of the more interesting backgrounds. So can you go over that again?
Yes, my first career path was in the field of opera. So growing up, all I ever wanted to do was be an opera singer. I wound up leaving, getting disengaged from that field and disillusioned by it. And when I went into the professional world, I realized everything I learned as a singer actually made me a very good speaker and an even better coach. And so I wound up founding Global Public Speaking, taking those musical skills that I had and turning them into business skills. So going from stage presence to executive presence. And I built my company based on that.
That is fascinating. And do you find that that's true of most entertainers, that they actually can transfer that skill to business, or is it something unique to yourself?
I find a lot of people in my space in this field who do have a background in theater, acting, performing. We're comfortable on stage and we're comfortable with people's eyes being on us. And that is a well-honed skill that we have developed. What all of us have to learn, and what I had to learn, certainly when I went into diplomacy before starting my business, is the content creation piece. Because as performers, usually we're performing other people's content. And then when we become speakers, even if we're speaking on behalf of a company, we're still part of creating that content. And so messaging, persuasion, stakeholder analysis, nobody teaches us this as we're training to be performers. So that was a pretty steep learning curve 20 years ago.
Yeah, 20. I was noticing it was 19 years ago you started the company, right?
That's right. I can now say nearly 20 years with a fair degree of accuracy.
And the last time we talked was about a year and a half ago. It was February of 21. You were in that, you had pivoted from your standard business to virtual. And now you've been doing it for, you know, a year and a half, you've been virtual. I see you've written a new book. I mean, what has changed in the last year and a half? Or have you pivoted and you've just continued on that route?
Well, once we pivoted all of our in-person programs to virtual, we started to see people come back to in-person, but we're at about a 50-50 stage right now, where I would say 50% of the requests we're receiving for group workshops are in-person, and the other half are going to stay virtual for the near future because people have simply realized how convenient it is not to make 50 people travel for training. At the same time, because personally, I'm primarily a keynote speaker and my team of coaches does the workshops, the keynotes are mostly in-person. Again, the workshops are about 50-50.
Yeah, and I remember you said you hadn't really traveled a lot in that previous year. Have you traveled more in the last year and a half?
I have. I've done a fair bit of travel both within the U.S. and internationally as well, which feels so nice to come back to.
Yes, I would imagine, especially the international. I mean, I assume, like myself, I've seen most of the cities in the United States. I have my favorites, but it's always good to go abroad and see other cultures. I think you would agree with that.
I love that. And what I particularly love about working internationally is I get to see how universal the fear of public speaking is. So it doesn't matter what continent I'm on. Everyone has the same fear and we connect on a really human level. So while I love seeing the different cultures and the different ways in which we express those fears, it's really humanizing to see we all feel them. And so I feel this shared connection whenever I travel.
And that's interesting because they say that most people's number one fear is public speaking. Do you find that to be true?
It's, you know, I take issue with those numbers sometimes because they're from very specific surveys conducted in very specific ways. We can safely assume many, many people do not like public speaking. A number of people are afraid of it, and most people have some degree of discomfort with it. Absolutely.
And I assume you help them get over those fears, correct?
I do, because what I see, people assume public speaking is a talent, much like singing. You're born with this glorious voice. And maybe with singing, some people are born with a great voice, but then you also have to apply skill, technique, discipline to unlock it. With public speaking, everyone is born with the capability to be a great public speaker. So speaking well is primarily a skill. Some people may be naturally more confident, but it doesn't mean they're better. It just means they like to talk. They like to be the center of attention. It doesn't mean they're effective communicators or influencers. So what my team and I do is we build a process that we can then apply or provide to anyone to build their skills and be effective speakers.
Interesting. I mentioned earlier, you've since have written the book, Speak With Impact Virtually. I think I know what caused you to write that book, but what is that book really about?
Well, the paperback edition of the original book, Speak With Impact, came out earlier this year. And as I was preparing my marketing plan to promote the book, I felt like that book needed additional context because it was written in a pre-COVID environment. So it addressed virtual communications the way we all felt about them. We'll do them when we have to, but we weren't using them that often, certainly depending on different industries. So in this new environment where we've supercharged our use of virtual technologies, we have new tools, new platforms, and new research that shows how humans relate to these new virtual environments, I needed to update the book. So rather than rewriting the entire book, I wrote a companion guide, a digital companion guide called Speak With Impact Virtually, which takes everything from the original book and applies it to a virtual or hybrid environment. And the idea is you use them both together because there's still an enormous amount of value in the original book. We simply needed additional application to a post-COVID or hopefully post-COVID environment.
And it's interesting you said the hybrid. I mean, because it's funny, you think now either you're speaking in person or you're speaking on Zoom or, you know, digitally. But there's that other thing in the middle where half the audience is in person and half the audience is digital. And do you think that creates different nuances or challenges that most people don't think about?
It certainly does, because you have to prepare two programs concurrently. So if you're giving a pitch to a potential client, a prospect, and half of the people are in the room and half are virtual, you need to be prepared to address both people equally. And what if the decision maker is virtual and their team is in person? So how do you engage both with the same level of confidence? It takes twice as much time to prepare, because instead of saying, what's important to you? What do you want to see? You now have to look into the camera lens and say, what's important to you? Let me pause here. Stacy, I know you're joining us virtually. Let me ask you specifically, what are you hoping we'll cover?
Yeah.
Okay, great. And then we have to make sure we've already got the setup in the room so that we can hear Stacy. So we need to understand the room's technical capabilities and maybe bring someone to help us or set up a computer. So there's so much more complexity in a hybrid environment. And yet it's so much easier for people to simply dial in virtually if they're not feeling well or if they're on the road as opposed to being in person. So we're going to see it more frequently, but we have to be much more prepared and intentional in the way we approach it.
Yeah, and I've actually done hybrid talks, and it's interesting. I like to walk around the room, and you can't do that because the camera doesn't follow you.
Some cameras do. So again, part of the preparation is, what's the frame? Mm-hmm. How much can I move? And I'll go to an event in person, and I'll play around in the room earlier that day or the day before to figure out what my capabilities are. So sometimes for a program, people will say, well, how would you approach it in a hybrid setting? And I'd say, well, first answer these five questions, then I'll tell you how I'll approach it, because how I approach it depends on the answer to those five questions.
Mm-hmm. And interesting, I took public speaking in college, and there's two things I remember from that, and that was a long time ago. One is prepare, and two, know your topic and your audience. Would you agree? Are those the most important things, or is there anything you'd add to that?
Those are two critical components. Mm-hmm. I would add a book's worth of additional topics to consider. I would mm-hmm. also add, yes, prepare, but have the right formula for preparation, because when people don't know how to prepare, they tend to over-prepare. Mm-hmm. And what they do is they waste all of their time researching their topic too much, mm-hmm. perfectly scripting what they're going to say. And then when they deliver their pitch or their presentation, they sound automatic. They sound like a robot. And through that lack of authenticity, they're missing out on an opportunity to really connect with people. Even in the most professional of settings, mm-hmm. where the connection is how we build trust. Mm-hmm. So I would prepare. Find the right method where you're preparing effectively, and then practice it so that you don't have to be stuck to a script. You can have some general bullet points or an outline, and then simply speak from that so that your authentic voice comes out, and you'll be both accurate because you've prepared, and you'll be authentic, which is what makes people pay attention.
Yes. And it's interesting. Another thing you said earlier is influence. Speak to influence people, and you know, technical people, I'm a techie, technical people don't think that way. Technical people think, when I'm going to speak in front of someone, I'm going to give them information, right? And so, we don't think of it as influence. And that's, but that's sales, right?
Yes and no. I would adjust that. I think what you're probably thinking is that your tools of influence are facts and data.
Mm-hmm.
So yes. You're assuming I'm going to influence. I don't have to do anything different because my facts and my knowledge enough will be enough to influence people. And that's not the case. We are not influenced by facts alone. It depends on how much the audience knows about your subject, how they feel about you. If they already like you, your facts are helpful. If they're distrustful of you, then they'll be distrustful of your facts. Mm. So what techies have to do is realize there are more tools of persuasion than simply the data that they're relying on. They may need to bring in something a little less comfortable, such as narrative and story and examples and visualizations, so that depending on who the audience is and what's persuasive to them, you can choose your tools of persuasion and influence accordingly. There is no one size fits all.
Mm, yeah, it's true. My PowerPoint presentations have definitely gotten better, because it used to be just a bunch of bullet points. And now I've learned, through talking with people like yourself, that hey, you got to make it a little more interesting for the subject, right? Because they're gonna zone out.
That's right. And if they're zoning out, not only are they not paying attention, but they're not going to do what you're asking them to do. So you're missing out on this great opportunity to really engage them intellectually, emotionally, physically, and then that's how you win their business or win their trust.
Yes. And so let's finish on, you've been in business now for 19 years. Next year will be 20. Where do you see, you know, global public speaking, like on your 25th anniversary? Where are you taking this?
It's so exciting to think about that. I'm actually actively involved in visioning for the next 5 years now, right at this minute. I've just started hiring for a full-time additional trainer, facilitator, and coach. So our team is growing. We're bringing in new technologies based on artificial intelligence so that people can practice their public speaking and get instant AI feedback. So this tool, we're calling it Amplify, and it's an instant practice platform powered by Yoodlee.ai, which is a terrific technology partner who's helped us create our own bespoke version of their practice platform that brings in AI analytics on your pacing, pausing, filler words, language, And I love that component. It also brings in the ability to share your speech with another human and get timestamped feedback. So I love and I believe in this as an important component of AI. It doesn't replace the work of a human. It can augment it in a way humans don't have to. So when you bring in that connection of technology and human innovation and influence, then you can develop really powerful products. So when I think about the next 5 years, it is, I'm looking at exponentially increasing our ability to help others, because every company in the world, every person in the world needs these skills. We know they're important for business outcomes, for job progression and career development. How do I build the most scalable products to help the most people in the most sustainable way?
Wow, that it's interesting. You just did it. You brought up AI with a group of techies. that gets their attention, right?
That's right. And this is just the beginning of that field. There's so much more to do in the area of machine learning. We're just tapping the surface of what we can do. And so I'm excited for this to be our first step in that direction, and then to see where it takes us.
From opera singer to techie machine learning AI. That's quite a progression. So, well, thank you again. It's always fascinating to talk to you. I actually wouldn't mind trying your product someday, because I believe in AI. I've done actual AI programming, so I understand what it's all about, and you don't think about it, right? But
I'll share the tool with you, Mark. You can let me know what you think.
Okay.
And we'll keep talking about it.
Take it to the next step. What about AR and VR? You know, augmented reality, virtual reality. You think that's going to come into play?
We're already playing in that space. Some of our colleagues in this field are doing that as well. There's a lot of applications when we look at simulated AR environments or VR environments, where you're actually not just simulating presenting to the board of directors, you're going in and videotaping the board and creating an actual video of real people. For me, the challenge has always been getting past the avatars, and that holds me back from the realistic feeling of being in that scenario. But if we can use videos of real people who perhaps play different roles, that's where we can really start to practice and get additional analytics based on AI. So the short answer is yes, in the future.
Yeah, true. I would think AR would be the more likely, because you know it's not real, right? So it makes it... But you're right. Who knows? Maybe VR will be the wave of the future.
There's already so much there. We'll see where it goes. I'm really excited to follow that journey.
Yeah. Well, thank you again, and have a great week.
My pleasure. Great to be with you. See you next time.